please join me to welcome Apostle George and Pastor Grace. Hallelujah. We appreciate the grace of God in your life. When the Lord connected us with you, you have not failed once, and you will not fail. The Lord will continue to make his grace to abound towards you and the children. We also have with us elect. Amen. We have favor. We have praise. We have arise, and we have destiny with us. Hallelujah. And they are here for the weekend. God bless you, sir.
Amen.
God bless
you. Praise the Lord. Before you go, we just want to present to you some of the books that have come forth in the last 1 year to mark your 15th anniversary, okay? The Lord bless you. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, we thank you this evening and we give you praise. Lord, thank you for bringing us this far. You've been very faithful. It's been a real journey. It's been a journey that we've overcome storms on storms, that some of them, we can't even call them storms. We lack words to describe them. And Father, you've seen us through. We thank you. Our hearts are filled with gratitude this evening. We can only say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for bringing us here. We give you praise. Minister to our heart this evening. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
And amen. Shall we be seated? Amen. We want to thank the Lord for what he's doing. And then thank you, Dr. Kathy. And thank you for your husband that came to accompany. Thank you, all the ministers of God that came. And my best friend, Overseer Ketan. He knows why he's my best friend. Amen. He's still owing. Amen. And I want to thank God. Coming here for us is not anything we negotiate. And you can see each time we're here with the children. They look forward to coming to Ward Fountain Church. And they're as old as we are in this church. Amen. This is our family. We just love this place. And we thank God for Pastor Dupe. Thank God for your life. And then, you know, when you look at her very well and you're looking at storm, and I said, do you really mean storm? There's another word, because we all are going through storm. I think you've gone through one that's maybe we have to rename it. Amen. And thank God for his faithfulness. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40 from our text, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she had received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Amen. And if we go back again to see where it says, this is one of my favorite scriptures, and pardon me if I would just read that. Have you not known? As a young believer, when I was going through storms, when I mean storms, for those of you who got born again in the 90s and the 2000s, praise God for you. And for those of you who are being invited to come to church and you're dragging, you want to come, you do not want to come, thank God for you. But for those of us who said, in the 80s, it's either the Lord or nothing. Amen. Storms did come. Amen. When I mean storms, the very huge ones that stands in the ocean as tall as two-story building. And the ships will be coming. And it looks like, get down, we're getting close to you. And the storm is still standing. One day, this scripture says, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning, that have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circles of the earth.
Amen.
And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them as at a tent to dwell in. I came to a point in my life, I say, Lord, I don't know what to do again. This is getting too much. I've been sent out of the home. I'm back again. I've been taken back to school. Nothing, I'm back again. I'm out again on the street. I have nothing to wear. I have nothing to eat. I have no place to go. What do I do? When this scripture came to me, it says, has it not been told you? Do you know who I am? Have you not heard? I said, hang on, what have I not heard? He said, go back to Genesis. And I flipped through. He says, can you read Genesis chapter 1? I made them, me, confessions of my mouth. He said, go through again. And as I was sitting down there, and I was, put my Bible this way. I said, okay, can I talk to you? I said, yeah. Go through Abraham. Go through Noah. Go through the story of the children of Israel. Go through. I said, Lord, hang on. When he came to Red Sea, I said, Lord, I think I'm at the Red Sea now. With the big Red Sea in front and the hoofs of the horses of Pharaoh coming behind me. What do I do? Do I jump in? If I jump in, how far will I swim across? If I look back, the enemy is coming. Lord, I'm in a lonely place. Lord, I'm just by myself. He says, have you not heard? What did I do? He says, okay, come on. Do you know when I kept reading, I says, ah, and he says, where do you think you are? What storms? And I want to ask someone here today, what storms? Has it not been told you? Do you know who we are serving? The maker of heaven and earth, the beginning and the end. He that opens, no one shuts. And he that shuts, no one opens. The great I am that I am. The almighty one. Whose power, Elohim, is his name. Hallelujah. Amen. He created that storm. Amen. And I can land here. He created the what? Storm. Of course, the disciples were threatened and they were agitating. They were all kind of afraid and they say, there is no doubt that we perish. Where are you sleeping? He says, do you know? Little did they know that the master of the ocean and earth and sky, the creator of that storm, amen, was in that boat. Amen. And I want to let everyone know today, the Lord is in that boat. Amen. The only thing with us is that some of us, we don't know how to canoe very well. Some of us, we know the storm is there. Have you seen them surfers? Have you seen them? They took time to learn the skill. And then the amateur one, you see them around in the little trying to do these. But the very, very experts, they don't come out until the storms are out and the waves and the billows are coming. And you see them with their muscles and everything, and they are out. And what are they looking for? They are looking for the storm, the real waves, so that they can. Woo! And it goes, pam, pam. You think they have, and immediately they are still, wham, wham. And I'm like, what kind of people are these? When people like me can't swim for up to an hour. And look at these people challenging the waves. And they even want the tougher ones. Brethren, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39, verse 38 and 39. The Bible says we are not of them that draw back. Not at all to any wave. Look at ordinary people who just sat down and learned the skill. And then they don't want to surf in, not in our low waters. They go out to the oceans and they are there looking and then they get in. The courage is there. Amen. They have the courage. They are telling themselves, I will make it. They are not even saying, I'll be drowned. All they know that I'm going to win. And I want the world to see my expertise. Then imagine you and I, who's got the Holy Spirit, the power of God, hallelujah, living in us. Hallelujah. Who's got him? He said he will not leave us comfortless. He said, I will guide you in all things. He said, I will show you all things. He will reveal all things. Therefore, do you think we shouldn't face the storm with boldness? With great grace, because we've got it? Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what that storm is. We're already above it. We are already what? Above it. And I want to leave this with everyone today. Don't sit down there and let Satan tell you you have not done it. You have the Christ in us, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. The Christ in us. The Bible says here, has it not been told you? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting one, the Elohim, the great I am that I am. Therefore, brethren, what is the Lord expecting to us? Come on, storm, bring it on. Do you want to rise? Rise it. You can go up to any land because the Bible says that, but they shall wait upon the Lord. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know when boxers, have you watched them? And they are doing this. This is the way all our storms should be. Make sure you don't sit down and wait for the enemy to put you down. Also intimidate the enemy. Intimidate the storm. Speak to that storm and say, oh, thou storm. The Bible says that who art thou, O mountain? Thou shalt be made plain. Who art thou, O this storm? Whatever you look like, whatever shape you're coming, I'm mustering my muscles. Amen. The Lord is with me. Amen. The Holy Spirit is with me. And there you go in the strength of the Lord. And the Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee must surely bow, including storm, including wave. It doesn't matter the name given to it. It doesn't matter what we want to call it. The Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee must surely do what? Bow. All you need to say to Satan, look, I've been waiting upon my God. Amen. And you think you can come. Amen. Now, come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Brethren, may the Lord give us the grace. Amen. And not to forget. The Bible is, in the other way around, if you turn what the scripture is saying is, have you forgotten the way I delivered you in year one? Did you forget the storms? After 5 years, did you forget all that all I've done for you? Why would you forget? And if you turn it round, he says, have you not known? Has it not been told you? Don't you know what I'm able to do? May the Lord give us faith. Amen. The grace. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen.
Bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. That was powerful. Is there really anything to add to that? Amen. I just want to thank the Lord again for Pastor Dupe and the storms she has gone through with Word Fountain, Christian Ministries, all these years. Storms are a fact of life.
The biggest problem in the Church of Jesus is partly a problem of forgetfulness, but more importantly, the problem we have is a problem that in the course of history, some of you who do not know, we live a lie. The church today is living a lie. A lie in the sense that the gospel of Jesus and the kingdom, the gospel that Yeshua HaMashiach, you know, incarnation of Elohim, the gospel that he preached, the gospel of the kingdom he preached and he handed over to the Alpha Church in Acts of the Apostle, it's important to remind ourselves that that gospel was reconfigured in the course of history. And so for over 1700 years, we have been taking a narrative that has no biblical foundation. And part of the issue has to do with the creation of a new plastic cross. And so people got onto a new plastic cross. The new plastic cross is a gospel that despises suffering. You know, there's one church, very popular church, that even came to the point and said, we don't bury. God gave us a promise, we don't bury the dead. That even faithful people in the church, when they pass on, the widows are abandoned because it would demean the stature of the church to acknowledge that somebody died and they were conducting a funeral. The new plastic cross has created a situation where suffering is deemed as inherently evil. And, you know, I thank the Lord that he used an academic to challenge us today. Thank you, Doc. Thank you for challenging ministers. And thank you for receiving that challenge. Can I remind you that the very incarnation of Elohim in the earth realm, he died at the age of 33 and a half. Crucified by men he created. And of all the 12 apostles, only John lived to a ripe old age. Only John lived to his 80s. Peter was crucified when he was in his mid-60s. Paul was beheaded in his mid-60s. And it's the same gospel we are supposed to be involved with. So what is the problem? The problem is that when we take away the aspects of the gospel that require us to patiently endure and go through storms of life and process issues, waiting on the Lord, running into Him who is our strong tower, when we create this sugar-coated gospel that is all about give me, give me, give me, in which the Elohim of heaven and earth exists for our pleasure. He exists, and all his job is to give us husband, wife, children, house, promotion. And this sugar-coated gospel, the danger it poses that it is not preparing saints for the end of the age. And what is the greater proof, whether you are talking about Boko Haram in northern Nigeria, the church is crumbling. Because one bomb blast, people won't go to vigil again. And so we need to really get back to the Bible. If we look at this that was said in the book of Isaiah, what we have been reading as a team in this conference, and sometimes we tend to forget that, the history of Israel provides us the foundation on which we stand as a new covenant. And part of what the church has suffered is because of that, creation of the new plastic cross and the replacement gospel that was propounded along with when it began, people are not getting to understand that the dealing of God with Israel provides us a reference in the way he has been dealing with the church. And the result is, a few days ago was one of the most profound anniversaries of the Jews, the Tish B'Av, when they remembered 2,600 years or so ago when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. And it's always the anniversary of almost all the major tragedies of the people of Israel. Then, from that foundation, you see that Israel is what it is today, not because of great things that happen. Israel is a product of the resilience that comes from suffering, from pain, from opposition. Because whether you are talking about Egypt or Babylon, we are talking about its history. All you see is that because the seed of the woman was to come through the lineage of Abraham, Satan knowing it, all the Gentile nations and empires that existed, they will never be satisfied until they had tried to poke their hand into the eyes of Israel. In the same way, the enemy will be raising all kinds of storms in the end of the age. And you and I, as believers, and those who be ordained today, you also need to take note of this reality that storms are not to scare us. In the economy of God, storms are to drive us to He who made us. They are to drive us to, dependence on He who called us. And that dependence is what the invitation here is calling us today. If we go to Isaiah chapter 40, where, he said in the book, in verse 29 to 31. Let me go from there. Let me build on where Pastor Grace stopped. He giveth power to the faint. Listen to this. In the midst of your storm, I want your attention, your heart, your mind, your will to be attuned to the reality that when you face storms, when yourself, the voice of your own soul, and the voice of the enemy and the voice of opposition around you will suggest that you are finished, it is actually the time that the Lord wants you to remember some things. That when you seem to be faint, when you seem to be weak, when you seem to be unable, inadequate, that is when he shows up better. Amen. And bigger. Amen. Because the Lord, brothers and sisters, listen to this. God is not looking for your strength. He's not looking for your wisdom or your ability. He's looking for your vessel. Somebody say vessel. And the best vessel is the weak one. The best vessel is the empty one. Because then he can show up through our vessels and we can give him all the glory. When we recognize how frail we are as humans, and part of the time, the purpose of storms is to remind us that we are humans. That initial fear. You remember Jehoshaphat? In 2 Chronicles 20, when those warlike nations came against him, the first thing was to fear. When David faced these challenges, the first thing was to fear. But he gives strength to the weak, to the one who is faint. Then he said also, right here, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. If we realize that it's not our strength. He said, actually God said in Jeremiah, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, who maketh flesh his hope. He's not looking for our strength. The best of God is manifested through available vessels that are yielded. And Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. Through whatever situations you are going to face as ministers and for the church, in all situations, if only we will abide in him. The word abide gives the impression of waiting on him. We said here in verse 30, 31, even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord needs to do a work in the earth realm. He needs to do a quick work by which we got to get out the junk of the utilitarian gospel out of our system. That gospel that is about God, give me. We go to vigil to ask him. We go to Sunday service. Listen to this, brethren. Intention matters to God. What is your intention? What is your intention of coming to service? The re-engineering of the gospel, the original gospel, if you read Revelation 4:11, it speaks about God being worthy. When we can appreciate who Yahweh is as our father, as he, the one whom Abraham met, the one Moses met in the burning bush, the one who had been with Israel, the father of our Lord Jesus Christ, also wants to be father to you and I. And he says in the midst of all situations, come to the realization. And when you come to that situation, you are not going to make him to want to worship you, to exist for your pleasure. We exist for his pleasure. And when we exist for his pleasure, we rest in his wisdom. We rest in his knowledge. And at times, the enemy wants us to doubt the omniscience and the omnipresence of this Elohim of heaven and earth. And when the enemy comes and rages, the five senses seem to suggest that he's far away. And the Lord is saying, if only you would do something at such a time, if only you wait on him. We have a problem of impatience. One of the biggest issues that puts Christians in harm's way spiritually is impatience. They want it now. The McDonald's Christianity. Okay. Drive by, drive through. I want it now. Somebody in Nigeria had a ministry and they called his nickname was Ozibo Ozibo. Right now. I want my miracle now. And in so doing, at times, the Lord of heaven ordains a process. Are there not many young sisters who are looking for husband? And the God of heaven say, you are not prepared. And they can't even hear that. All they want to know is that that sister wedded last month. The other one wedded 3 months ago. But the Lord said, you don't know how to cook a goosey soup. You don't know how to cook a bar. You don't know how to make a phone. And the one I have for you, he loves his Eba. And God said, hey, stop asking me. Go and meet one of the elder women. Let them teach you how to make Eba. Let them teach you how to prepare it. Let them teach you how to present your food to that man. He knows. But he won't give me, give me, give me, give me. And with that give me, give me, give me, the first person that says hello, you accept. No prayer. No asking the Lord. 6 months later, the marriage is on the rocks. Because there was no waiting on the Lord. Oh, the Lord wants you to do something. He wants you to be in a particular business. But because you've had the testimony, oh, that industry, that's where the money is now. No prayer. No waiting on the Lord. You just get into it. You jump into it because you are looking for the outcome, money. The Lord said, no, brethren, it's time to get back to the old rugged cross. The new plastic cross has not worked. Let's be very honest. It has gathered crowd of people who are not connected to the true vine. They are connected to the pastor. They are big daddy. They don't know the daddy of heaven. They know the pastor. And Christians have become subcontractors. Christians have become grandchildren. All we know is the daddy and the mommy that does miracle. We don't know the one that uses them to do the miracle. And the Lord says, listen, it's time to get back right to the basics. And that basis includes the narrow way, the narrow access of conversion. A lot of people are in church not because they've met the Lord, not because they've encountered him. They're in church by going to look for one blessing or the other. And after 7 years, they are now church members. The question is, are you a member of the body of Jesus? Did you go through the process of encountering him? Do you have a testimony of the day you met him? The day he took away your sin and the day your life turned around? And the Lord is saying to his saints, there's an invitation because the storm is coming. Yes. If anybody told anyone in this country that 2 years ago, the young people in this country, if anyone told them that 2 years ago, that listen, very soon you will need a visa to go to Europe. I'm talking about something that is important to the young people. That very soon, you will need a visa to go to Europe. Nobody will have believed that. But it's happened. If anybody told our brother, David Cameron, who is from this area, when he was just elected, re-elected, that he'll be out of the office, He would have thought, where is this person coming from? Are you coming from a crack house? If anybody told Theresa May when she had the confidence to call an election based on the opinion that she was very popular. And for the first time in this country, I saw election manifestos, not talking about Conservative Party, but I saw somebody say, I'm Julie Marsden, Theresa May's candidate. Listen, human nature is frail. Our minds are finite. They are limited. And the Lord says, it's time to plug onto him because he knows the future. He knows the way through the wilderness. He knows the way through the storms of life. And he says, we need to come to him by the only narrow way, the narrow gate of conversion, and then begin to abide in him. and come to that place where we are not quick to give an answer in your day-to-day life. You're not quick to give answers. You're not quick to respond. All kinds of things we do impulsively. And the Lord is saying, to get to the end of the age and stand, bigger storms are ahead. But the Lord wants us to come to that place where we die with Jesus at the old rugged cross. So that his life begins to proceed from us. And when it becomes so, we develop intimate relationship with our Father in heaven. We develop a sweet communion with Holy Spirit. He will minister to us the way forward. He will teach us all things. Because this idea of running from pillar to post looking for miracles and running around human beings and they are making promises, even if those things they said, they happen, and you don't have a vibrant personal relationship with the Lord, you are in danger. And the Lord is saying, come to that place where you can wait on the Lord. Where you can wait on the Lord, because as you wait, he renews your strength. The Lord is saying it's time to recognize that you are an eagle. You are not a chicken. It's true, many of us have grown up in chicken coops. And so our mentality is that of chicken. And the story was once told of an eagle that was abandoned and it grew up in a chicken coop. And one day, as they were picking those worms on the ground, trouble came in the form of one of those ravenous birds that tried to swoop down and pick them off. And the chicken began to run. As they were running, the eagle, in the midst of that storm, running away for life, the eagle found the wing, flapped up, began to soar. Soar above the situation. Soar above the circumstance. Some of us have been so brought up in what we see on television. A gospel that is no gospel. A fake gospel. A gospel whose purpose is to desensitize us from a personal relationship with the Lord that can outlast trouble, external trouble. Because the way we are created and recreated in Christ, there is nothing external of us that can destroy us. If truly you are born again, whatever storm the Lord allows to come your way, it's an instrument to activate in you such a dependency on the Father, such a pulling down of grace from the Father, such a strengthening of your spiritual muscles that you will soar and as you rise above the storms that are coming. So what the enemy meant for evil will be for good. Amen. From the Bible beginning to the end, that's the same story. Joseph, if you remember, here was a young man giving a vision of his future, and he declared it prematurely. Listen to this. Every attack against Joseph was an attack that took him closer to destiny.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Go and check through. Every single attack against him. And the Lord is saying, your life is not a happenstance. The Elohim of heaven chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
If you are not a happenstance, he knows every single thing that will come your way. And he has proposed that every single one of them, at the end of the day, they have an assignment to build up your spiritual muscles, build up your eyes like that of the eagle, build up your senses, and cause you to have the capacity to rise above the storms. And the Lord is saying to you, brethren, that it's time to get serious with him. It's time to bridge the divide. Any gap between you and him, any dependency on a television preacher, any dependency on, you know, prophecy that people throw like firecrackers. The time is coming when those things will fail. Even the Bible says prophecies will fail.
Yes.
The Lord is asking us to come to a place where we love him with all our hearts. The kind of love that when it was time, according to church history, for them to take Peter And they wanted to crucify him like his Lord. Peter said, what do you mean? What do you mean? How can I have the privilege of being crucified like my master? Why not turn me upside down? The kind of experience that Paul the apostle had, that while he was in prison, awaiting his execution by beheading. Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, hey, Timothy, his protege, I have finished my course. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord shall give to me. Listen to this. The more we know the Lord, the more we know that our life is more than the physical. If you are truly born again, eternal life is in you. And if it is so, the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. Neither does corruption inheriting incorruption inherit corruption inheriting corruption. Then he says, you know what? There's a day coming when there will be a translation. Whether by death or by the rapture, the translation takes us to the other side. And the Lord is saying, on this present time, whether he gave you 80 years or 100 years or 90 years, whatever is the span of time, begin to live it in the consciousness that it is but a speck of eternity. Begin to make choices on the basis of that eternity. Let everything you do be determined by how much it will take you closer or further away. Let's rise up and pray. I want everyone, let's talk to the Lord right now. Say, Lord, I want the grace to be with you, abide in you, in spite of, not because of. That no matter what I see, the grace to remain in you, the grace to grow in you, the grace to turn every adversity to advantage as I wait on you. Help me to abandon the ways of the new plastic cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege to have come here for you to use us in a short period of time to declare your counsel. Father, watch over your word to perform it. You know your saints here. You know your children. You know whatever they are going through. Father, teach your children to know that there is power in patience, that there is power in waiting on you. Teach them to know that all tough situations are not necessarily evil. They are not necessarily from Satan. They are not necessarily from their enemies. That there are times you allow things, you allow orchestration of circumstances that will bring forth the best in us, that will cause us to rise above the storm. I pray that every one of us here from today, we will make the right choices. We will not be quick to give answers. We will not be quick to respond out of the flesh. But Father, we will give you right of way to work patience in us as we wait on you. Let the grace for your people to go forth strong in the spirit and in the power of your might. Let that grace be released with the word they have heard. And I pray that every one of us will rise above every storm. That when we meet storms, we are not going to be scared. When we meet storms, we are not going to be crushed. When we meet storms, we will, like the kingdom eagle we are, spread our wing and allow ourselves to ride on the wind of grace. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Thank you for Word Fountain. Lord, you are ushering them to a place of strength. From that place of strength, they will occupy the land. From that place of strength, they will enlarge the coast. From that place of strength, your purpose shall be fulfilled. Father, we thank you for the discipling of saints that goes on here. We pray that no saint will despise discipleship, because that is what will enable your people to survive the storms that are coming. That when we move from believing on Jesus to become his followers, following his footsteps, when we come to that place where we are not pursuing the utilitarian gospel about what we'll get out of you. When we come to that place where we lay all at the altar and ask you to take over, my Father, begin to manifest through each of us. And I pray today, if there's any brother or sister here, any friend, any visitor who has not made a commitment to you, enable them by your Spirit to reconsider their situation. Those who ought to receive your love, open their eyes to that need. Thank you for answering our prayer. You are faithful beyond measure. In the name that's above all names, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, we pray. Amen and amen.